I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today writes this. There's no doubt about it. We live in a dangerous world. But instead of motivating Christians in the West to action, today's headlines appear to be paralyzing us. We were never called to live in fear. Even though the times we're living in are frightening, we are right on course with the very plan of God for this world. Things are not falling apart. They're falling into place. Can I get an amen? Our friends Tom and Joanne Doyle join me today to offer us a faith perspective from the Middle East. Some of the things we'll be talking about today are, who is Islamic Jihad and why did Israel go after them? What happened to the Israel when, with over 1,000 rockets launched at them? What happened to the Palestinians in Gaza? How about some good news from the Middle East? What's going on in Ukraine? And any updates on Afghanistan, since it's the one-year anniversary of the collapse of Afghanistan? Is there anything good happening in that country? So those are some of the questions we'll answer, topics we'll address in just a moment. A quick announcement. If you don't receive our weekly email devotional, we would love to get it to you. It's free. You can sign up on our website, myfaithradio.com. It's a prayer devo, some thoughts on prayer, a simple prayer. You get it once a week in your inbox on Monday morning. After the show, hop on our website at myfaithradio.com, and you can sign up there. Also want you to know, thanks to the Doyles and their generosity, we've got a handful of copies of their book that they co-authored together. I think this book won some awards. It's just stunning. Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. All of their books read like fast action-packed novels because the stories are so heroic and amazing of Muslims who come to Christ and then they stick around so that their friends and families can know Jesus, but they're risking their lives in the process. Boy, these guys are storytellers and they are on the front lines, so they see what's going on. And I can't think of anybody better to give us an update from the Middle East than my friends Tom and Joanne Doyle. So let me tell you about them and we'll get them on the show. Tom Doyle is president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, an accomplished author, popular international speaker, pastor, and minister to the unreached. He's a veteran tour guide in Israel and the Middle East. His book, Standing in the Fire, was a finalist for the ECPA Book of the Year Award in 2018. Joanne is the founder of Not Forgotten. It's a women's ministry division of Uncharted. She's also a popular international speaker, a voice for women in the Middle East, and the host of Flourish. It's a Christian women's satellite TV program that, listen to this, broadcasts into Iran. Is that not amazing? I'm going to ask Joanne about that a little bit later, what God's doing there. But this is the one time I'll have you both talk at the same time. Tom and Joanne, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Suzy.
It is always fun.
Well, I love and appreciate you both so much. And Joanne, we'll start with you. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for having us on. And it's fun to have the three of us together. So just to set the stage for y'all, Tom and I are in separate rooms, so we can't see each other. But we may trip over each other when we talk. So forgive us if we do that.
Well, you're married. That's okay. And you minister together. So we love it. We welcome it.
Which is a joy. So where has the Lord had me lately? And I'll tell you, do you ever have it, Suzy, where you're in a book and you just can't get past certain chapters because they're so rich and God keeps teaching you so much? Well, that's what's been happening with me. I've been in Deuteronomy just as Moses is getting ready to leave. God is going to take him home. He knows he's not going to get to go into the promised land. So he's got before him all the 2.5 million Jews and the Israelites, and he's preparing them to go into the promised land. So Moses is preparing to leave them. So these are his most important, cherished words. And I can't get over Deuteronomy 29 and 30, chapter 29 and 30, where he's got, just think, it's the former slaves, the only ones that are left after 40 years of wandering, are the kids that were 20 years old or younger, and then those that were born in the wilderness. So that's who he's talking to. And he's telling them the most important things: prepare your heart. You're going into the promised land, prepare your heart. And he gives them all these warnings, you know, choose before you life or death, good or bad, blessings or evil. And he, and God says, I've made it really easy for you. I've put these words in your mouth. I've put them in your heart so that you can't mess up. that's how much God loves us and how much he loved them and wanted them to walk with him when they got into the promised land. And I have to tell you, the verse, Susie, that is just ringing in my ears over and over again is Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verse 17. And it says right here, he says, let me find it in my Bible here. He says, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, you will be drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. So meaning if our heart turns away, we literally cannot hear what the other person's saying, whether it's God speaking to us or whether it's our husband or wife or a loved one or a friend. If our heart is turned away, we cannot hear. And when that happens, especially when we're talking about spiritual things, it says we'll be drawn away to worship other gods. And as I've been pondering that, I have seen this ring true in so many aspects of my life. If my heart is hard in some way, I literally, and someone's talking to me, I'm not hearing a word they're saying. My heart is hard, and it's almost refusing all those other words, and I'm turned away to other things. But spiritually, oh my gosh, it knocks me on my face. If my heart is hard in some way as I'm reading scripture or, you know, whatever message I'm hearing from the Lord, if my heart's not in tune with God's heart, I'm not hearing the message that he has for me. And if my heart is worshiping other things, that means I'm worshiping idols. So I don't know how that's, if that resonates with you at all, but that has just got me flat on my face, constantly praying, God, give me a new heart. Keep my heart pure before you. Circumcise my heart, as he talked about earlier in that chapter. So anyway, that's where God's had me lately.
Oh, my goodness. You just did such a beautiful job unpacking it. That's why I asked this question. And I love that you really explained it the way you did. I'm thinking as you were talking, Joanne, that, you know, there are some people who maybe are getting ready to move into a new place and they sense a shift in their career or direction or ministry. And how important is it to go, you know, maybe how you've done things in the past isn't how you're going to do things in the future, but you really do have to be guarding your heart, watching your heart, mm-hmm. remembering what I've said. So that is a profound word, Joanne. Thank you so much. And mm-hmm. Tom, how about you? What do you say?
Well, you know what? I've been in the book of Colossians, and I do a Bible text with some of our family and friends, and it takes you about like a minute and a half to read it. I do it every morning with 3 points: know this, become this, and do this today. Because it's so easy to read the scripture and then, oh, that was cool. Oh, yeah, I remember that verse. But what does Jesus want me to do with it today? So this one I talk about in Colossians 1, 3 words that will change your life. And they're simple words, but they summarize the magnitude of the greatest miracle that we believers can experience. And if we grasp them, there's no question we'll be transformed. And here are the 3 words out of Colossians 1, Christ in you, Christ in you. And I think about this, Susie, there are miracles and then there are miracles. And everything about Jesus is a miracle. He began as he became a human, but at the same time, he was God, creator, eternal, over all things. Had authority over the devil and demon, head of the church, firstborn of the dead, held all things under his control. And that's just a few of the things that Paul lists about our magnificent king. But we, on the other hand, were aliens, not from outer space, but we might as well have been, because we were so far from God, we were enemies of God. And when things couldn't get any worse for us, Jesus made peace with us by his blood he shed on the cross. And I just think of this, the blood of Jesus is the most valuable commodity in all of history. By Jesus' blood, we're not only saved, but we're given the high privilege of living with Christ in you, the hope of glory. No tabernacle needed, no temple needed. Jesus lives in you, Christ in you. If we can grasp that miracle, and that's got to be up at the top of the list, we will be different and people will see Jesus in us. So we just pray that we can live that truth out. The world needs to see Jesus, and he wants to show himself to the world through us. Wow.
Amen. Wow, indeed. Somebody got to text me an amen after that. That's so powerful. Tom, we're going to stay with you here for a moment. Talk about Operation Breaking Dawn. Who's Islamic Jihad and why did Israel go after them?
Yeah, well, you know what? They are one of the 11 terrorist groups in Gaza. And the sad thing about what has happened in Gaza is with Islamic Jihad. Ramadan Salam started this terrorist group. They make no bones about it. They want to do nothing for the Palestinians. They're not there to help them. They don't want to improve their life. They don't want to do anything. They exist for the sole purpose, one purpose only, to destroy the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so there they are, hunkered down in the middle of Gaza, and they started firing rockets into Israel. And Israel responded. And sadly, it's horrific on both sides of the fence. But this is, we don't want people just going out and getting killed. But as far as getting rid of some terrorists, which Israel did, this will make life so much better for the Palestinians, because they're threatened by these guys every single day. I mean, it doesn't, it won't be a court case, Susie, if someone said, well, that's Susie, she's collaborating with Israel over there. They wouldn't check that. You're dead. I mean, we've seen people hanging in the Gaza Strip because someone said that they were collaborating with Israel. That's how vicious they are. So Israel went after them in Operation Breaking Dawn. It was horrific. We know people on both sides of the fence. And but we thank God there's a ceasefire, and we hope things will be better as a result of all of this.
Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to know about the ceasefire. How did that come about? And I'd also read that the jihad is blaming Israel for killing civilians when Israel is saying it was your own rocket that malfunctioned and landed on your people. I want you to tell me, is that true? What happened there? Talking to Tom and Joanne Doyle today, we're getting an update from the Middle East. And these two work on the front lines, and they've got friends in the Middle East. They know what God is doing there, and they've got some pretty encouraging stories. And these are trying times, but God doesn't stop working just because the enemy is moving. God always has a plan, and he's carrying forth his plan. So, and also we got a handful of copies of their amazing award-winning book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. Think about this. When women who are Muslim come to Jesus and they risk everything so their husbands and their children and their friends and family can know Jesus. And we talk about heroism. It is. And it's like these stories will take your breath away. I wish everybody could have a copy. I think every believer, especially in the West, needs to read this book. You can text the word book, though, to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. There's honey in the rock, water in the storm, better on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our friends Tom and Joanne Doyle to get an update from the Middle East. They do amazing work in the Middle East. Tom Doyle is the president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, and Joanne serves alongside of him, but she's also a founder of Not Forgotten. It's the women's ministry division of Uncharted. What they're doing in the Middle East, how God is using them, is profound. Thanks to their ministry, they're offering a handful of copies of their award-winning book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Middle East, or in the Muslim World. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions about what's happening in the Middle East, go ahead and send those in. I'll do my best to work them into the conversation. But right now we're talking about Operation Breaking Dawn, Islamic Jihad, who they are, why did Israel go after them? And now talk, if you would, Tom, about the ceasefire. And then we'll go to Joanne about what's happened with the rockets launched against them. But how did they come upon the ceasefire?
Yeah, well, Egypt jumped in and brokered a deal between Israel and Islamic Jihad. And, you know, that's always a good news, bad news thing, Susie, because if they set it for midnight of a certain day, then what's going to happen is up until that time, there's going to be a flurry of activity. And there were just hundreds of rockets being launched into Israel from Islamic Jihad. And there were also Israel was countering with their offensive, too. And it was really, really scary. So that did happen. There is a ceasefire. We're glad for that, praying that this will calm things down for sure.
So talk about, Joanne, if you would, what happened to Israel when these rockets launched them. And also, one thing I've read is they often feel that they're misrepresented in the West, that they seem to be, that the news is twisted kind of against them and not ever in their favor. I'd love to know your perspective on that.
Yeah, you know, that is so true. And you know, Susie, Tom and I have a love for Israel, of course, but we also work in the Muslim world. So our heart is for both. We love the Jews, but we also love the Arabs. So we try to be very balanced and see things the way they are. But Israel does get a bad rap. And for instance, here's some of the stats just from this, these from August 5th to August 7th of this Breaking Dawn war. Even though it was quick, listen to how many rockets were launched. The jihadists, they launched 1,100 rockets. And of those 1,100 rockets, 990 of them crossed into Israel. Praise the Lord, they were in, you know, areas where civilians were not hit. Truly God's grace and God's mercy. And the ones that were aimed at civilian population, 380 of them, the Iron Dome was able to intercept. So if the Iron Dome had not worked, can you imagine the casualties that would have happened in Israel? So praise God for the Iron Dome. And then this is the interesting part that you don't always hear on the news. 200 of the rockets that they fired misfired and actually landed back inside Gaza. And if you remember, they talked about some children that had been killed. It was like either 10 or 12. There's kind of two different interpretations of that. But do you know that those children, sadly, I mean, those are precious little tiny souls that were lost, and we grieve over them, as does all of us do, as do the Israelis. But that was a misfired rocket that came from the Gaza Strip that went back into their own land, and that's what killed those precious children. So that's where Israel really does get misrepresented. And when Israel goes in, I mean, you can watch some of these rockets. Mm-hmm. There's different sites where you can see these rockets actually go in. And Israel always drops leaflets down and tells them if it's going to be in a populated area, get away. This rocket's coming. But they only target the launch pads of where the rockets are coming or the homes where terrorists reside. So they try to be as careful as they can. But of course, you know, every soul matters to Jesus. Soul matters.
Wow. We so appreciate the perspective. Tom, did you want to add anything?
Joanne, you had that email from the Ukrainian woman, don't you?
Oh, in the, let me read you this letter. You can't believe this letter. This is written from a Ukrainian refugee that's brand new, just moved from Ukraine into Sederot, which is about a half a mile from Gaza. So look at this. This person has just endured war in Ukraine. And we all know, we've been watching the news, how horrible what's happening in Ukraine is. But this is what she says. Hi, Maxine, which is our leader. I'm so sorry for disturbing you. I watch the news and I see and I hear the war beginnings, but it's scary. In general, what should I do? Somehow I don't feel comfortable. In this situation, to be home in Ukraine was not as frightening as here in this foreign country of Israel. So she feels more safe in Ukraine than she does right now in Israel. She's just a half mile from Gaza, where all of those 1,100 rockets were being fired.
Wow. Unfathomable.
I have no idea how horrific it is. And Tom, you've got some stories too of on the other side, how hard it is for the innocent caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, and you know, our heart is with the Palestinians too. And it's so sad because sometimes innocents get killed from Israel's responding and then their own rockets going astray. And so Shireen and Dina, we actually wrote about in Women Who Risk, and Dina was recording. And it ends up that as she was recording out the window, just kind of showing us the skyline and all the bombs, one landed next door to her, next door. And I mean, the camera shakes and you hear her scream. It's amazing that she didn't die and she's still dealing with that. I mean, it is thunderous, Susie, the sound. And she was right there. She sent it to us. But here she is, a believer, loves Jesus with her whole heart. Loves her people, doesn't hate Israel, but she's stuck in the middle. So it's an incredible, awful situation for her to be in. She would love to one day walk into a church and worship Jesus freely. But unfortunately, because she lives in Gaza, and Islamic terrorists wouldn't allow that, or they would sentence her, or maybe she'd be killed, it's just not going to happen. So our heart goes out to the Palestinians in Gaza. Listen, Israel's a secular nation. They're not perfect. Some things they do go wrong, and they are not intentionally trying to kill women and children, but it does happen, and our hearts just break for them. Some of the pictures we're seeing from Gaza, it's horrific. It really is.
Wow. Wow. How difficult it is for, is it for those who are Muslim who become Christian and trust Jesus to suddenly see Israel in a different light? Is that a big giant leap for them when they've maybe been conditioned their whole lives to think differently?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it really is. And we find that people from a Muslim background, once they confess that hatred, in fact, we had Sammy in the Gaza Strip, grew up fighting against the Israeli soldiers. And when he came to faith in Christ, he said that he wanted to be a full disciple. And I said, what do you mean by that, Sammy? And he goes, I want to do everything Jesus told me to do, not just pick and choose. And the first place I had to start with, Jesus said, love your enemy. And my enemy was across the fence. So I confessed my hatred for Israel. And I expected maybe God would give me a tolerance for them, but he said he filled my heart. He rushed this feel of emotion of love into my heart for the Jewish people. And he said during the attacks, when Israel would respond, I found myself praying for them. I couldn't even believe it.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. Wow, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. I don't think we can even fathom it, you know, and I wonder, you know, how much of the conditioning that, you know, just the narratives they've heard over and over again, that it's just sort of in them. And so to come to Christ and then read his word and say, wow, I need to have a different perspective. I mean, how often do we let God's word challenge us to that degree? Because I think at times we just sort of adopt our own narratives and go, this trumps everything. And wow, what if we did go back to what you were saying, Tom, where we read the word and said, what do I need to do about this today? You know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And he takes the blinders off our eyes when we come to faith in Christ. The truth will set us free. So all of a sudden we have former Muslims in Gaza letting us know really what's happening. And you know what Hamas did during this three-day war? They went and raised all the prices throughout the Gaza Strip on food, staples, everything, just so they can make more money.
Wow. These poor people. So we, you know, it's like we need to be praying for the Palestinians. We need to be praying for the Jewish people, that a wave of salvation would come all across the land. And boy, when we come back from the break, Joanne, I'd love to know any good news that you have. And I know there's, you have to protect identities and locations, but I would love to hear what the Lord is doing, because we need to hear that. Friends, we're talking to Tom and Joanne Doyle. There's good news in the Middle East. You may see and hear all the bad news, and there's some difficult things happening. But again, God doesn't look away. He doesn't take a vacation. He is on the move, and he moves through his people. And this is why it's so important to have people like Tom and Joanne on the ground. We'll be back with them again. We got a handful of copies of their award-winning book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friends Tom and Joanne Doyle to get an update from the Middle East. These guys are doing amazing ministry in the Middle East. They have just an incredible ministry and a love for the Muslim people. And one by one by one, they're coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and news about the gospel is spreading. And these different dear people who dare to trust Jesus for not only their eternal salvation, but their lives, they are risking their lives to reach loved ones with the message message of the gospel. It's just absolutely amazing. Tom's also a tour guide in Israel, so he knows a lot about what's going on there. But we've been talking about the war and the upcoming ceasefire and everything that's going on. And I want to go to Joanne right now and just ask about some good news that's happening. Things, I know you can't give names and locations, but tell us a few stories. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, I love what Paul says in Timothy. He says the gospel cannot be chained. It cannot be bound. And so no matter what we see on the news, no matter what we see in the world, wars, rumors of wars, famine, earthquakes, the gospel is still breaking through. And so that's happening in the Middle East, too. And so we have, you probably, Susie, you're familiar with the term MBB, Muslim background believer. So that's someone that's come to faith in Jesus. And they're from a Muslim background. Well, in addition, we have MBBTs, meaning Muslim background believer teen. So now we have a new generation being birthed to those, you know, families that have come to faith in Christ. Those teenagers are also giving their life to Jesus. This is going to be the next generation of followers of Christ living in the Islamic world. So one of the countries that we work in, and as you said, I can't tell you which country, but this country, I have to tell you, it's so sad that 60% of all the deaths for women in this country are through honor killings.
Wow.
So these, isn't that a staggering percent? 60% of the women's deaths in this country are through honor killing. So sadly, honor killing is alive and happens on a consistent basis. So life is scary for Muslim women. But these teenage girls are giving their life to Christ. Most of them are refugees from a neighboring country. And our leader there started meeting with these MBB teens, and she started teaching them the word of God, trying to, you know, they don't have the background that we do in scripture. So they were meeting every week. They're memorizing scripture. They're studying scripture. But then she noticed that one girl who was so in tune, 14 years old, mind you, she was just had such a hunger and a thirst for God's word. And then all of a sudden she stopped coming. And our leader could not figure out what the deal was. And finally she discovered that, you know, she is a believer. Her mother is a believer, but her father was still Muslim. And he married her off to a Muslim man, someone in his 30s. She was 14 years old. So our leader realized we need to do something for these young girls. These Muslim families are big, typically, you know, 6, 8, 10 children. The Muslim dads, even if they do come to faith in Christ, regardless, if they're a refugee, you know, they can't easily get employment. So it's very difficult to provide for their families. So fathers are marrying their young teenage daughters off so that they don't have the financial responsibility of them. So our leader is so wise, and the Spirit of God just encouraged her, start a program, start a school for these teenage girls where, first of all, they can be discipled, but secondly, they can learn a trade so that they can provide for themselves. So we funded this new program. It's just now started. It's only about 3 months in the making, and it's called Iris, Blooming in the Desert. And that's what these young teenage girls are. And we've got about 13 or 14 of these girls from 12 years old to their early 20s, learning English, studying the Bible, and learning how to get a computer, actually accreditation, so they can get a job. And when they come each week, Susie, they get a little paycheck for attending. They call it their pocket money. And this shows the Muslim dads going to this program is worthwhile. They get a little pocket money. They help defray some of the family's, you know, expenses. So this is preventing these fathers from marrying these girls off.
Wow. That is amazing. And is the ministry partner's life in danger by her providing this schooling and this ministry? Is it, I mean, is that kind of a bold move in that she's taking a big risk? Or is this sort of a welcome thing to be equipping women? I'd gotten the sense that they really don't want women to have any kind of privileges.
Right. It's a little bit of both, to be honest with you, because you do have some families where both the mom and the dad have both come to faith in Christ, and they are wanting help for their children. But then you may have a mother that's come to faith in Jesus, but the dad still has not. And so there can be persecution from him. For instance, one of the girls in the program, she is suffering big time from PTSD. When she was 4 years old, she saw family members killed. And she still, you know, there was war in her country or home country. And so she still has that visual memory that she is having a hard time overcoming. So they are doing some trauma therapy for her. But she is having a really difficult time. As I said, just daily life is hard for her. And her brother does not know this. Now, her dad knows she's a believer. Her mom is a believer, but her brother does not know she's a believer. And she's actually getting persecuted, not by her mom or her dad, but by her brother. So, yeah, that definitely can be, you know, one of the difficulties that they face. You've heard us say many times before, I'm sure, you know, before any of our folks in the Middle East come to faith in Christ, they're asked a couple of really important questions. And the first one is, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Because if you give your life to Christ, you may easily suffer at the hands of your family, you know, relatives, friends, neighbors, what have you. And then secondly, are you willing to die for Jesus? And before they pray, they have to answer those two questions in their heart. So they've kind of crossed that bridge before, you know, they give their life to Jesus. But, hey, it can be a day-to-day decision they have to make.
Wow. I'm just so blown away. And, Tom, I'm thinking about, you know, for by grace we are saved through faith. You know, when you think about when we preach the gospel, I don't remember who it was I was talking to recently, but they were saying, feeling like we're weakening people in the West in the way that we present the gospel, especially if we're promoting the health and wealth kind of thing. Like Jesus is a means to an end, and you get, you know, you trust him, you're going to get everything you want and then some here and now. And we're not equipping people to suffer for their faith. Oh. And we're not even making it worth it. You know what I'm saying? It's like Jesus is worth it. But if it's about us and we're suffering, you may hear Christians say, I didn't sign up for this. Well, maybe they didn't because they didn't know what they were signing up for. So say a word about that, because the gospel is a radical, powerful message. But if we water it down or twist it to make a promise that's for the here and now and not for eternity, boy, we are doing a disservice.
Oh my gosh. Or gather and sing songs where we're the main part of the song. It's about us, not about Jesus. And I think, oh my gosh, all of our years, Joanna and I have been out there in the front lines and going to underground churches. We never heard any worship songs like that. It was all about Jesus. We have nothing. We're waiting for you, Jesus, to intervene. We bow to you. Jesus is uplifted and holy. They wouldn't even understand health and wealth gospel. They'd go, what? In the Gaza Strip? I mean, it wouldn't compute to them. They know that their life's going to be rough when they come to Jesus, but it's worth it anyway because they know the truth. And that's what they've been searching for. So we hear a lot about PTSD and all of that. I think the people in Gaza, all of them have PTSD. You know,
I can imagine. In Ukraine?
The Jews on the other side of the fence in Ashkelon and Sderot, the rockets are coming. They all have PTSD. They've all been through so much. And, yeah, it's just different. So much easier here to just talk about the good things and the positive things. But Jesus said this, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. And we see that happening in our country. First, there's accusation, and then comes persecution. And we as believers are being accused of things, being mischaracterized and made the scapegoats in that. And so, it's just totally different there. There is a vibrancy. The first time Joanna and I worshiped in the Gaza Strip, we went to an upper room and there were three groups of people. And this is in a mixed apartment building where there's people that could even be with Hamas, you know, in the apartment building. But we're up there. And one group is in the corner praying. Another group is just singing and worshiping. And another group was talking about Muslims that they'd shared the gospel with today. And there was so much light and excitement in that room. I said to Joanne, this is the book of Acts. We just walked right into it.
Wow. And that's the thing. I mean, I think we would see revival in our land if we understood the power and the potency of the gospel and what it actually is that we're saying yes to, who we're saying yes to, versus creating, a faith structure that fits all of our idols. You know what I'm saying?
And, I
don't think it was you, Tom, that I talked to years ago about this, and I don't expect you to remember the story, just the concept of it, though, about this imam who was kind of climbing up the ladder, so to speak, in Islam. But he was the more he climbed, the less peace he had. And it was a sort of a representation of so many of these, especially as they get promoted up through the ranks, going, well, that wasn't it. And this is why these dear souls are willing to risk their lives, their families, shame, and you know, in a culture of honor, so to speak, where honor is everything, to walk away from all of that. When they're introduced to the Jesus of the gospel, they actually find peace that they never have had before. And that's why they're willing to risk their lives. And it's like, maybe that's what's missing, because we haven't presented the true gospel often enough.
It's so true. You know, one of the young ones in Gaza came to faith in Christ and he's a young man. And he happened to say some words out loud in a place that was a little bit public. And a guy came to him who is with Hamas and said, I'm going to turn you in. I'm going to tell them that you were a Muslim and now you're a Christian. Hmm. And he said, I want you to pay me for keeping this a secret. Well, he went away. He prayed and all of that. He went with another friend and confronted the man and came and shared the gospel with him. And he was so convinced with their love and their ability to just stand in this and not be afraid. He prayed to receive Jesus and is now being discipled by the man he threatened. This just happened last month.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, send revival. Help us to see what we need to see. Oh, my goodness.
Again, the gospel has changed. You know, it's like there's no place it can't reach, including the heart of a terrorist.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, this is why these stories that you two share are so incredibly important, because it's really boiled it down to, you know, we are thinking eternity, we have found the treasure, and we're going to risk all to follow Jesus because he's worth it. And wow, so amazing. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to talk to you, Joanne, about how in the world you're able to broadcast in the Middle East a TV show on Christ and how people are responding. I mean, how did that even happen? It's a miracle. And this is what, I don't remember which of your books this came from, but one of you wrote this. Though Jesus has come to set women free and restore them to their biblical place of honor, the devil's trying to do just the opposite. He seeks to enslave, oppress, and control them. So we're going to talk about just what God is doing in the hearts of women in the Middle East, and specifically through this show that Joanne has. It's unbelievable. We'll be back in a minute. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you.
This is the King. This is the King.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, having an amazing conversation with our friends Tom and Joanne Doyle. We try to get them on once a month to get an update from the Middle East, and they've written a number of books that are just breathtaking. You literally will hold your breath. They're action-packed, but they're stories of when Muslims come to faith in Jesus and they risk their lives to share Jesus with their loved ones and their friends and even their enemies, and their sometimes harrowing escape when they're running for their lives. It's just absolutely amazing. The one that the Doyles are giving away today, it's an award-winning book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Tom is the founder of Uncharted Ministries, and Joanne is the founder of Not Forgotten. It's the Women's Ministry Division of Uncharted. And but she's also a voice for women in the Middle East. She hosts Flourish, a Christian woman's satellite TV program. I'm just so amazed that you're able to do that. How did that door open, and how are you received?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, if you would have told me about even 5 years ago that God was going to open this platform for us, I would have said, "You're not me. No, I'm not. I don't have any training in this area." But you know what God calls you for, he does equip you for. So what happened, you know, during COVID, you asked how it started. During COVID, our travel schedule really went to nothing, just like everybody else's. We were all home, right? Nothing was open, couldn't travel anywhere. But what we saw happening, literally, just first of all, in our own country, we saw that churches were growing, you know, the online Zoom presence. People were saying, wow, our churches are growing. We're actually, our attendance is higher now than when we were meeting in person. So we thought that was pretty interesting. But then we started talking to different ministry folks, partners and so forth, and they were seeing the same thing happen in other parts of the world. So, for instance, in Iran, which is where Flourish broadcast, they were noticing that they had 10 times the amount of people watching their programs since, you know, in the midst of COVID than they did before. So they have about 6 to 8 million people that tune into their program every week, 6 to 8 million. And leading the way in that are the women. And so Hormoz Shariat, who's with Iran Alive Ministries, he called us and he said, you know, we have programs that are, you know, Western programs that are translated or dubbed into Farsi, but we don't have a program that's written for the Iranian woman. Would you do that? Well, I thought he just meant do a program, you know, come on a program and I'll answer some questions or whatever. He said, no, I want you to create the content and make a set and do the whole thing. Can you make a program that's actually for the Iranian woman? And I thought, oh, wow, that's a big thing. Where do I even start? And I remember it was, it must have been summer, spring or summer. I don't remember what time of the year, but I was swimming laps in the pool. So it had to have been warm weather. And I remember swimming back and forth saying, okay, God, is this from you? I don't want to just say yes. And I don't want to just say no. Is this from you? And God, what I heard him say, Susie, is yes, this is going to be a program for women, from women, and funded by women.
Whoa.
And I had to raise $40,000 for a year's worth of programs, you know, creating the set and the whole thing. And do you know, Susie, within 1 week, all the money came in, and it was all through women. You know, I mean, sometimes it was a couple, but it was a wife that was initiating that. So I just got on my face before the Lord and said, okay, show me, what does this look like? What are the topics that we need to do? So what they asked for is 13 separate programs is a season. So 13 programs, each one is a half hour long. And I invited the rest of our Not Forgotten team to be a part of this. And so we filmed it in their studio here in Texas. And then after we filmed them, they're sent to Turkey, where our voices are dubbed into Farsi. And then they broadcast into Iran about 10 or 11 times a week, each program. And so now, shockingly, I can't even believe I'm saying this, we've done 3 seasons. We've already recorded 3 seasons. So that's 39 different programs that are playing into Iran geared toward the Iranian woman. I mean, what a gift from the Lord.
Wow. Do you have any idea of how women are responding to that?
We've been told that it is one of their most popular programs, partly because we've made really pretty sets. We've made each one a little different, so it doesn't look like it's the same program each time. So each season, the set's a little different. So we've been told that when they turn on the television and they see, first of all, Persian people are very attracted to America. They love the West. So when they see American people, that right there kind of causes them to pause and see what's going on. And then it looks really pretty. It's very attractive. It's light. We use a lot of bright, light colors. And then the topics are very, we address a lot of the elephants in the room, for instance. Like, for example, suicide is higher, the rate is higher for women in Iran than it is for men. And it's one of the very few, if not the only country where the suicide rate is higher for women than men. Usually it's the opposite. You know, women are so protective of their children. So we talk about suicide. We've had guests on there that have lost loved ones to suicide and what that feels like to be the one left behind. And so we've addressed some of those issues. But then we've also addressed things that they want to talk about, like, you know, as the women are leading the way in the faith in Iran, how do you have a quiet time? What are some practical things? You know, how do we meet with Jesus? How do you face in a closed country? So we've done a lot of varied topics, but some that are really fun and some that are more challenging. And we hear that it's successful. Last thing I'll say, because I'm going on and on, is because if anyone calls into the station, they can be traced. And if they're caught calling into a Christian station, of course, they can suffer persecution. So they don't hear from tons and tons of people, but what they have heard back from is very favorable. From those in Turkey that listen, or Azerbaijan or other Farsi-speaking countries, again, they say this is one of their most popular shows.
It's just amazing. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And we can be just praying that God breathes on every word, on every show, and inspires hope in these women.
Thank you.
Tom, we're coming. I don't know. I can't remember the exact date of our withdrawal from Afghanistan. I just remember feeling absolutely sick when I watched it all. But and I remember last time you were on, though, you said that China was no longer the most dangerous place for Christians to reside. It actually had become Afghanistan. So what kind of updates do you have now?
Well, you know, it's become terrorist central in Afghanistan because they're going in and getting passports switched, and people are coming from all over. It's estimated 10 to 15,000 terrorists from around the world have come to Afghanistan. They get a clean passport. They may even change their name. And so just this killing of the terrorists last week was evidence that there's just many of them there. And so, but despite that, the gospel goes on and things have happened. And so we've been blessed for a year to be a part of some of the rescues that have happened. And there's been over 1,500 people rescued that we were able to contribute to that had got out of the country. They were women and children that probably would have been sex trafficked. They were put in a safe house and then taken out when they could get out. When some of these special forces guys, some of these amazing men of Jesus could get them out. So a lot of things have happened. And then there's also good things where even though schooling has been banned for young girls, middle school and up, there are some underground schools where they're meeting and getting training and hearing the Bible and growing. Mm-hmm. And we're just thrilled to be a part of that, too. Can't really go into detail on that one, but you can only imagine in the midst of the Taliban what a miracle this is that nobody's been caught.
This is, you know, like the gospel goes on because there are people who love not their lives even unto death. I mean, the kind of grit and fearlessness to play these different roles. I mean, say a word if you would about these special ops. Are they retired? Are they kind of going in on their own because of their own conviction? Tell me where they're coming from and what they're doing.
Yeah, so these are like special ops, former Navy SEALs, some former FBI, just all kinds of people that were in security and special forces, served military, and they came together when they realized that Afghanistan was collapsing and went in just to help because we were hearing there was about 100 Americans in. Some of the teams we work with in Afghanistan said, we think there's well over 1,000. And so they went after them. And these are guys that love Jesus. I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but we call them studs for Jesus, you know? I mean, these guys are unbelievable what they're doing. And they have a big heart for Jesus, rescuing some of these little girls and women and getting them out to safety. Wow, we've been blessed. And to help start some orphanages, healthy orphanages, where they're not going to be abused. They're going to learn the word of God, and they're going to be taught by loving believers. So we're blessed to be a part of it. In the evil, the good's happening. The body of Christ is not wishy-washy at all. You're either in or out. And boy, the believers in Afghanistan are in, and they're heroes of today for us,
you know,
people in the body.
You both write like novelists. You both do. I mean, you're nonfiction writers, but you write like novelists. I really think, you know, like in your spare time or something, you should consider writing a series of novels on like these special ops and these underground people. Because, I mean, that to me, that should be a movie someday later on when the narrative's not so edited, you know, by the powers that be.
Right.
But to be able to really read, a story like that would be so profound. Tom, I'm going to close with this and have you just speak to it. But you're right. Today's world is violent and pitted against those who follow Jesus. And it's not going to change in our lifetime. But we know the end of the story. And in order to live life full throttle for God, we must say goodbye to fear and look with hope to the future. Just any thoughts you want to say to add?
Yeah, you know, fear and faith just can't exist in the same heart. You can't have both at the same time. You'll either lapse over to faith or lapse over to fear and just be consumed by it. So we just say this to believers, let's stop taking our worldview from the news and just anchor ourselves in the Word of God and find out what God's doing around the world, because this could be, for the body of Christ, one of our finest hours. Mm. As people are risking their lives, and more people are coming to faith in Christ today than ever before.
Somebody got to give me an amen. Wow, you guys. Appreciate you so much. And I can't wait till our next conversation. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. Thank you, Tom and Joanne. We sure love you.
We love you. Thank you, Susie.
Yeah, until we meet again. And friends, I pray you found some encouragement here. This is why God has called us to be global Christians, to pray for the whole world. We need a global view because Jesus is the King. He's our King, and he's returning again, and we live and we serve him. Boy, I'm so fired up. I pray you are as well, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.